299. A name, in the house of Daniel raised from the dead. 12th October 1945. For the people of Nain, Jesus is their guest for the first time since the miracle of young Daniel, who was raised from the dead. Jesus' sound, blessing, preceded and followed by a large number of people. The people of Nain have been joined by incomers from other villages. Capernaum, where they had gone looking for Jesus, and from where they were sent to Cana, and then to Nain. I am under the impression that, as many disciples, he has set up a kind of information network, so that pilgrims looking for him can find him, although he moves around, even for a few miles a day, as the season and the short days allow. And among those who have come looking for him, there are some fairies, apparently respectful. Jesus is a guest in the house of the young man raised from the dead. The notables of the place have also, and Daniel's mother, when she sees the scribes and Pharisees, seven of them, like the deadly sins, humbly invites them, being able to offer them a worthier abode.
There is the master, woman, and that attaches great importance even to a cave. But your house is much more than a cave, and we enter it saying, your house.
The woman, in fact, although she is certainly not rich, has done her utmost to honor Jesus. All the wealthy families in Nainly enter the lists, joining their efforts to adorn the house and the table. And the various women who have collaborated are casting glances, visible spots, at the group passing through the hall towards two rooms, facing each other, in which the landlady has laid the tables. All they have asked for, as compensation for the loan of kitchenware, tablecloths and seats, and for their work in the kitchen. To see eat hand, and breathe the same air as he does. And now they appear here and there, flushed, covered with flour, or ashes, or with according to their tasks in the kitchen. They watch him closely, they take their little share of divine sight, of divine voice, drink and hears his kind blessing and figure and look delighted, when they go back to the kitchen stove, cupboards and sink, more flushed than ever. The one who offers with the landlady the basins for the ablutions to the guests of consequence. She is a young dark-haired, and dark-eyed girl, and is suffused with pink. And she blushes even more, when the landlady informs Jesus, that she is the fiancée of her son, and getting married.
We waited for you, so that the whole house might be sanctified by you. Please bless her as well, that she may be a good wife in this house.
Jesus looks at the bride, bows, he imposes his hands on her head saying,
may the virtues of Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel flourish again in you, the true children of God, for his glory and the happiness of his house.
Jesus and the notables have now completed the purification rite, and they enter the dining room, with the young landlord, while the apostles all persons of Nain go into the opposite room, and the banquet begins. From their conversation I gather that before my vision Jesus had preached and cured in Nain, but the Pharisees and scribes pay little attention to that. They, instead, harass with questions for details of the disease of which Daniel died, of how many hours had elapsed between his death and resurrection, and they ask whether they coming, etc., etc. Jesus pays no attention to such investigations, and converses with the revived man who is very well, wonderful appetite. But a Pharisee calls Jesus to ask him whether he was aware of Daniel's disease.
I was coming from Ender by me. I wanted to please Judas of Curious as I had pleased John of Zebedee. I did not even know I would be passing through Nain when I saw the pilgrimage,
replies Jesus.
Ah, had you not gone to enter deliberately?
Asks an amazed scribe.
No, I had not the least intention of going there at that time.
Why did you go then?
I told you, because Judas of Simon wanted to go there.
And why that fancy?
To see the cave of the sorcerers.
Perhaps you had spoken about it.
Never. There was no reason why I should.
I mean, perhaps with that episode you explained other witchcraft, to initiate your apostle.
To initiate anyone in holiness, there is no need of pilgrimages. A cell or a desert barren land, a mountaintop or a solitary house. Surface. providing there is austerity and holiness in the teacher, and the will to become holy in the disciple. That is what I teach it.
But the miracles which your apostles now work, what are they, if not wonders, and...
The will of God. That is all. And the more holy they become, the more miracles they will work, through prayer, sacrifices and by no other means.
Are you sure of that?
Asks the scribe, holding his chin in his hand, and looking Jesus up and down. Rather ironical and pitiful.
I gave them those weapons and that doctrine. If among them, and they are many, there should be anyone who becomes corrupted through base practices, out of or other reasons, he will not have received such advice from me. I can pray to see the culprit redeemed. I can undertake our creation, imploring God to help him particularly with the light of his wisdom, so that he may see his error. I can throw myself at his freedom with all my love of brother, master, and friend to abandon his sin. And I would not consider that a humiliation, because the soul is such that it is worth suffering any humiliation to save that soul. But I can do no more. And if after all he perseveres, the eyes and heart of the betrayed and misunderstood master and friend will shed tears and blood.
How much kindness and sadness there is an expression. The scribes and Pharisees look at one another. They exchange meaningful glances, but say no more on the subject. Instead ask young Daniel questions. Does he remember what death is? What did he feel when he came back to life? And what did he see in the end life?
I know that I was suffering from a mortal disease, and I suffered agony. Oh, what a dreadful thing! Don't make me remember it! Come when I will have to suffer it once again! Oh, Master!
He looks at him, and is so terrified, that he goes pale at the eye once again. Jesus kindly comforts him, saying,
death is in itself expiation. By dying twice you will be complete, and you will rejoice at once in heaven. Let this thought make you live a holy life, so that you may have only involuntary and venial.
But the Pharisees returned to the attack.
But what did you feel when you came back to life?
Nothing. I was alive and healthy, as if I had awaked from a long...
But did you remember that you had died?
I remembered that I was very ill, in agony, and that is all.
And what do you remember of the other world?
Nothing. There is nothing. A black hole, an empty space in my life. Nothing.
So, there is no limbo, no purgatory, no hell?
Who says there isn't? Of course there are, but I do not remember them.
But are you sure that you were dead?
The people of Nain lose their temper.
Was he dead? What more do you want? When we put him into the coffin, he was about to smell, and then he came. In arms and bandages, even a giant would die.
But do you not remember that you were dead?
I have told you that I don't.
The young man is losing his patience and he adds,
but what are you getting at with all these questions? That the whole village was pretending that I was dead, including my mother and my fiancé, in with grief in her bed, including myself, all bandaged up and unarmed, while it was not true? What are you saying? No children, or idiots in a jesting mood. My mother's hair turned white in a few hours. My fiancé had to be treated. Joy had almost driven her mad. And you doubt it? And why should we have done all that?
Why? That's true. Why should...
exclaim those of Nain. Jesus does not speak. He toys with the tablecloth, as if he were absent. The Pharisees do... But Jesus begins to speak all of a sudden, when the conversation on the subject seemed to have come to an end, and he says,
they...
and he points at the Pharisees and scribes,
want to prove that your resurrection from the dead was a cleverly contrived game to increase my reputation with the crowds. Enter, you the accomplices to deceive God and our neighbor. No, I leave fraud to worthless people. I do not need with tricks or accomplices to be what I am. Why do you want to deny God the power of giving a soul back to a body? If he creates, he gives it when the body is being formed, will he not be able to give it back to the body when the soul, being restored to the body through the Messiah, is an incentive for many people to come to the truth? Can you deny God the power of miracle? Why do you want to
God?
I am who I am. My miracles and my doctrine testify who I am.
But why does he not remember, while the spirits evoked, can tell what the next world is?
Because his soul speaks the truth, sanctified as it the first death. Instead what is spoken, by the lips of necromancers, is not the truth.
But Samuel...
Samuel came by the order of God, not of the sorcerers, to bring to the traitor of the law the verdict of the Lord, who is not to be the remnants.
Then why do your disciples do it?
The arrogant voice of a Pharisee, who stung to the quick raises his voice, draws the attention of the apostles. Was it room, separated by a corridor a little more, than a yard wide, but not isolated by doors or heavy curtains? When they hear or two, they stand up, and come noiselessly into the corridor to listen.
And what do they do it? Speak frankly, and if you're I will warn them, not to do anything against the law.
I know in what they do it, and many others know as well. But since you raise people from the dead, and you say that you are more than a prophet, find out for he shall certainly not tell you. In any case, you have eyes to see also many other things which your apostles have done, when they are not to be done. Do, when they are to be done. And you do not mind.
Tell me some of them.
Why do your disciples infringe the traditions of our ancestors? We saw them today. Also today. Not more than an hour ago. They room to eat without purifying their hands beforehand.
If the Pharisees had said, and they slaughtered citizens beforehand, and in such a horrified manner.
You have watched them, of course. There are so many things to be seen. Good and beautiful things which but for creating or permitting such things, and for giving us our lives, so that we may see them. And yet you do not watch them. What you do. But you waste your time and your peace running after things which are not good. You look like jackals, or better still, like the trail of a stench, neglecting the waves of perfumes brought by the wind from gardens full of aromatic herbs. Hyenas do not love jasmines and camphor, cinnamon and cloves. They are unpleasant smells to them. But the stench of a decomposing corpse seen, or on a cart road, or buried under bramble, where a murderer threw it, or washed ashore by stormy waves, swollen, burst, horrible, oh, that is a delightful smell for hyenas. And as the evening wind condenses, and carries all the smells distilled from the things it has warmed, they sniff at it to smell that vague inviting scent, and once they discover it and find where it comes from, they, with their snouts in the air, showing their uncovered teeth and their quivering jaws, like a hysterical laugh, to go where there is pure, and be it the corpse of a man or a quadruped, or a snake killed by a peasant, or a beach marten killed by a housewife, or be oh, they relish it. And they sink their fangs into the revolting stench, they feast and lick their lips. But it is a matter of knowing men and proven holiness day by day. But if one only does wrong, or more omit not a divine commandment, but a human I call it tradition, precept, as you wish, but it is always a human thing, then it is noticed. And one runs after even a to rejoice, if the suspicion is true. You who have come here not out of love, or faith or honesty, but for a wicked purpose. Why do you infringe the commandment of God, for the sake of your tradition? Are you going to tell me, that a tradition is more than a... And yet God said, honor your father and your mother, anyone who curses father or mother must die. You instead say anyone... father and mother. What you should have from me is Corban. Corban offering to God, especially one made in fulfillment of a vow. Obliged to give it to his father and mother. So with your tradition you have cancelled the commandment of God. Hypocrites, I knew when he prophesied. This people honors me only with lip service, while its heart is far from me, therefore they honor me in vain as doctrine and commandments. And while you neglect the precepts of God, you keep the traditions of men, the ablutions of amphorae, dishes and hands and other such things. While you justify the ingratitude and avarice of a son, by offering him the excuse of a so that he may not give a piece of bread to those who gave birth to him, and need his help, and whom it is his duty to honor, because they are his parents. Scandalized, because one does not wash one's hands. You alter and infringe the word of God, in order to obey words invented, imposed by you as precepts. You therefore proclaim yourselves more just than God. You arrogate to yourselves the rights of legislators, as God alone is the legislator of his people. You.
And he would continue, but the hostile group goes out, in a hail of accusations, bumping into the apostles and those who were in the house, guests. And the landlady, and who had gathered in the corridor, attracted by Jesus's thundering voice. Jesus, who had stood up, sits down into all those present to enter where he is, and he says to them,
listen to me, and understand the truth. There is nothing outside into his mouth, can make him unclean. It is what comes out of the mouth, that makes him unclean. Let those who have ears use their reason to understand, and their will to act. And now let us go. People of Nain, persevere in good. He always with you.
He stands up, he greets the landlord and landlady in particular, and he sets out along the corridor. But he sees the friendly women, who are in wrath, and he goes towards them saying,
peace to you as well. May heaven reward you for assisting me with such love, that I did not regret. I perceive your motherly love in every crumb of bread, in every sauce and bit of roast, in the sweet honey, and in the cool scent. Love me always thus, O good women of Nain. But do not work so hard for me the next time. A piece of bread and a handful with your motherly smiles and your honest good looks, are quite enough for me. Be happy in your homes, because the gratitude of the person is upon you, and he is leaving comforted by your love.
The women, weeping in their happiness, are all on their knees, and in passing by he lightly touches their white or dark-haired heads, one by one. He then goes out and sets out again. The early shades of evening hide the pallor of Jesus, who is embittered by too many things.